Hello and welcome to Board Stupid, the podcast that loves talking tabletop, board games, D&D and other awesome stuff. I'm Wayne.
Ensign Simon, reporting for duty.
Security Officer Tom.
It's been a while, hasn't it? Gosh, yeah, so we're just nerds talking about the things we love that are worth geeking out over, like Star Trek, apparently.
No, you're not allowed to say that.
Oh, sorry, yeah, the legally distinct from. Yes. Yeah, legally distinct from. Anyway, Simon, are you ready?
Aye, Captain.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. Tom, are you ready?
Absolutely.
Good. I'm ready, and if you guys are ready, we're going on a little space adventure as we take our broken down jalopy from our space station and dive in to this week's episode. This week, we played Starship Captains. We played as a series where we talk about an epic board game that we played this week. And this week, it's the galaxy-exploring, crew-commanding, medal-winning Starship Captains. In this episode, we'll be diving into the things we liked and breaking down the elements that make it great. Because at the end of the day, we only play awesome games. And as Tom mentioned, Starship Captains boldly goes into all sorts of places in a legally distinct manner. All right, so Starship Captains is a Euro-style game which mixes action selection and engine building. You're going to manage a diverse crew of cadets, ensigns, androids, and officers, each with different special roles and capabilities. By earning medals, you can promote and train your crew for even greater effectiveness. And similarly, you can upgrade your ship with powerful engine-building technology for maximum synergy.
There's some cool activity to be had in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Almost too much to do.
Absolutely, and we'll dig deep into that. Starship Captains will play 1-4 players, is designed by Peter B. Hofgaard.
Wayne got the name right first time, Tom.
I wrote it down
for
him.
So I wrote it down for me.
He's reading from a screen.
I'm reading from a screen. I hate to let you in behind the magic, viewer or listener. I do read from a screen, which makes you wonder how I cock it up so much. Anyway. But
you don't need to read out all of the next line.
I'm going to try, though.
Go for
anyway, it. But even before that, this is Peter B. Hofgaard's first game.
Mm-hmm.
What ever. A banger to start with.
What a banger to start
with. Yeah, it's
great. Cracking. And we'll dig into that a little bit later. But the art is why, here we go. I'm going to say Mergen Erdenbayer, Jiří Makovec, Radim Pech, Jakub Politzer, and František Sedláček.
There you go. And no prizes for guessing the nationality of most of these artists.
Yeah, there's some Czech letters in there that I do recognise. So it's published by Czech Games Edition, of course. So CGE.
We're fans of these guys.
We really are. They've done some good stuff. They really have.
They've done some fantastic games. I think we've played not everything that they've put out, but most of them now.
They've done some.
And there's
really
a few we still need to try that we do own.
Yeah, there's Galaxy Trucker that you've got, and then they've
Deal with the Devil, which we haven't tried yet.
Yep.
Galaxy Trucker, although there is a new edition of Galaxy Trucker that's slightly more updated and modern.
Codenames is one of theirs as
Codenames,
well.
Codenames, Ruins of Arnak.
Yeah, Lost Ruins of Arnak, another great game, yeah. Knocking out of the park. Playtime is 40 to 100 minutes, so about 25 minutes per player, apparently.
That's about accurate. Based on our...
Almost spot on for today.
Almost bang on the money, yeah, that's right. And has an MSRP of $49.99, which is-ish.
Yeah. It ranges, yeah.
Ranges.
40 to 50.
Yeah, well, Chiba and I bought it from at Spiel, but then I did get to play it basically on the day of release.
Yep.
Let's dig in then and talk about the components and art design. So, what do we think? Simon, let's chuck it over.
The standout piece of game equipment here is that double-layered player board.
Yeah.
You'll have heard us mention this on our kind of preview and SN recap type episodes. It is not the Starship Enterprise from Star Trek.
But it's definitely legally distinct.
It's a slightly sort of caricatured, cartoony
version.
It's
really cool. Yeah. And it has this double-layered track where you end up placing your workers, your crew, which then slide around in incredibly satisfying fashion.
Hmm.
Very bright, colourful design overall. I think that board works really well, nicely laid out with your little deck space and your cargo space and a little tech board underneath. The board, I think, is, again, very nicely designed. It's got a, you know, a relatively stereotypical, I suppose, space background, but we're in space and we're Starship Captains.
The art actually very much reminds me of Galaxy Truckers. It's a very similar art style. I think it's some of the same artists.
I imagine.
Actually,
so,
I want to go back to the ships. Yes. Something that I thought was really clever with the ships is clearly to try and keep the cost of the game down, the component cost of the game down. They give you the ship as a single piece of card
punch
out.
Yeah, I remember this.
And then you fold it together and then they just give you like some little
sticky dots.
Double-sided sticky dots. So you stick it together yourself.
It's really
so
clever.
It's kept the production cost down. You don't need someone who's been, you know, in a factory gluing two sheets of cardboard together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes out that one step, which probably saves a ton of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's an enjoyable process, in fact.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. That use of the punch board to create the double layer boards is really smart and I think is innovative. I imagine we'll see more companies do that.
Yeah. Really I don't clever. See any reason why not to.
Yeah,
actually, because it
smart as hell
was easy.
I suppose due to the unique shape of the thing, whereas something like Scythe is an easy comparison as a double layer thing. They're all square, so you can run the two things together and chop them.
So. Yeah, that's true.
Because of the unique shape of this.
Yes, it was
it'd be a harder thing to die cut a double layer with the rounded shape that it has.
So. Yeah, true.
Let's quickly talk about the art design, because you did mention it. It's very brightly coloured. It actually reminds me a bit of Star Trek Lower Decks.
Yes.
The animated series.
Yeah, the animated series. Yeah, it's got that kind of cartoony vibe.
It is definitely a cartoon version of the show that we won't name.
Yeah, and there is this sort of great, really poppy artwork all over these mission cards, and it's like a whole bunch of different.
It's quite
really go ahead,
quite comic booky. I suppose. Yeah, that's just right, looking through some of these cards, very very bright, comic booky, quite very dynamic.
And
you can see action in the cards.
That's all right. The missions are like on the nose sort of references, right? Yeah.
Was it the Roddenberrys or something?
The
like
Roddenberrys
that?
Is one of the missions. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, really good. Alongside the game board, which is great, nice and poppy, loads of stuff on there, and the player boards, which are these fabulous, legally distinct Starship Enterprises, you've got these sort of faction tracks, which are just some solid pieces.
So they like represent the three space stations?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so they have like space station places on, or spaces on the board, and then you have a little cardboard space station, which becomes a reputation track.
Yeah, that's right.
You can work towards getting favour with.
You also get your own sort of individual tech board, and then there is a tech market board. There's really not much to say about those, but it's a solid piece of punch board. Seems fine.
Yeah, everything's nicely designed, but a lot of it's typically functional above.
Yes.
But yeah, it works great.
It's, to be fair, it's not like super luxury.
No, it's not. And there quality. Is, it's a criticism I do have, which we'll come to. But
it could be more luxury, but I guess the question is, does it need to be?
No. Well, yeah, with the increasing costs of games. Yeah.
Everything's largely cardboard outside of the plastic meeples that you get, your crew and the
androids. Let's talk about those. Those are quite good. They actually come in four different colours. Five, I think. So we've got red, yellow...
The tin cans, yeah.
Yeah, red, yellow, blue, grey, and the sort of gold little androids. And they actually have quite a few different sculpts, which is nice as well. It's not just one sculpt in each colour.
Quite surprising,
It's a nice mix. There's, I think, sort of six or seven different poses in the crew. And then those sculpts are mixed and matched between the sort of collection, the allocations to the different colours, which represent sort of different departments and officers within your ship, right?
And the delightful androids that remind me of Marvin the Martian.
They really do. Those are perfectly fine. Nice little minis. Again, nothing to write home about in terms of like hyper luxury quality, but they're functional.
Yeah, I mean, they're not super, super detailed, but they are a nice little sort of tactile thing to have, right?
Yeah.
With a worker.
They're a person carrying out a job on the ship. They're not your main lead role play character, and you want it to look exactly
correct.
Like the thing you need. And then your on board, that is to say on the main game board, your ship is a little fold-out cardboard representation, again, in a similar, not the Starship Enterprise kind of shape. That'd be one of my drawbacks. I can either mention it now or later on. The quality of that I found a little disappointing because they are cardboard and pushed together, and it was a bit
wonky. I've already seen plenty of people who've done 3D printed coloured starships.
I think
there's official ones, right?
Yeah. This week, CGE have announced or made available an official download for a 3D print for colourful starships to be made
which
in plastic.
Which is great. I think it's lovely that they've done that and made that available.
I hope that that's a reflection of the game being popular.
Yeah, I should hope so. Absolutely. Alongside that, you get a whole heap of different tokens, which we'll go into. There again, nothing to write home about there. Nicely designed. And then you get a ton of cards as well, right? So you've got two types of cards. You've got your normal standard size-ish or American size card, and then you've got your Euro mini card. My issue with these is the card stock is kind of crappy.
You reckon?
I think it's a bit crappy.
It's not like, you know, satin finish cards.
It's not coated. I don't think it's got a heavy core in it. And especially with the mini cards, I found them a little bit thin. But I think a lot of the games I own have thick card stock and really nicely coated.
Are we just spoiled?
Yes.
Well, yes. I suppose, yeah, that would be my question. Is it that you think these are bad or you just think they're not as good as other things you're familiar with?
It's probably the latter.
It's not your satin finish wingspan sheen card, but there's for my liking, there's nothing wrong with these cards at all.
I just thought they were a bit flimsy.
Insert your Patrick Bateman scene where he's drooling over the business cards.
Right? Oh, exactly. Right. they're not embossed or anything.
But they're bright, they're colourful, they display the information you need incredibly well.
And the art's great, the symbology is easy.
I don't think you can see degradation. You don't hold a deck of hands that's going to degrade in time. They're either on the board or you've used them.
Yeah, and to be fair, on the mission cards, it is a full width and breadth print of a bit of artwork, and it is fabulous. The artwork
and they're all
is
unique.
Great. Yeah, all unique. Yeah,
I really like that the artwork on the mission cards is border to border. There's no framing, or it's just a small representation. It's all landscape cards, so it feels like you've got more of an image. You say a bit more like a comic book.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably almost all of the character of the game for me is in those mission cards.
I agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
With all that said, gents, what would you rate the production of Starship Captains? Bear in mind that I bought this for £60.
I think at that price, not so good.
Yeah.
At the retail price that you can get it at now and going forward, which is sort of, depending on where you look, anywhere sort of around £45 to £50.
Yes.
It's not bad. It's not the best production value I've seen for the same price, but it's got great artwork, which I think is really characterful. And I really like the production of the starship boards and the cadets and the way that they sort of work together.
Mm. Yeah, I'd give this a solid 3 at least. It could have been made splendiferous and more expensive. I think for the going rate, I think it's perfectly fine. As I say, my one small drawback on the ships themselves that you move around the board, I'd much prefer they were a different. Even if they were still card in some fashion, but built differently, because it genuinely felt like I was going to tear them to pieces.
Or a standee, maybe.
Yeah,
a little acrylic standee or something.
That'd be good. Yeah, I think a 3 seems reasonable. I mean, for the price I paid, it's a stretch for me, in my opinion. Even the box doesn't have any sort of insert or organizer in it. It's just an empty box.
That's true.
And there's nothing, so you just throw all your stuff in and hope for the best. And so,
which is surprising, actually.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, stuff gets bagged, right? It's not like it's entirely loose. But
it does. And look, I'm not saying that this is a crap production, because it's not, but we're talking about value here.
Sure.
So and if I think about games I paid £50 and £60 for, okay, the production could have been better. With that said, we do know, and it is a fact, game prices are increasing, production prices are increasing, and they do have to factor in the logistics costs, which CGE do, to be fair. They factor that into the RRP, which game companies should do, and not surprise you with a £50 shipping fee on your Kickstarter. But with that said, just a thought. But we'll talk about whether it is worth it at the end of this review. Anyway, let's talk about the core mechanics of the game. So, Simon, you won this one.
By the smallest
margin possible.
By literally half a point. So how do you win Starship Captains?
Well, the majority of the game from my outlook is that you traverse the board. It's made up of around a dozen planets or places to visit.
It depends slightly on whether it's one to three players or four players.
Okay, yes, that's true. Yeah, it's a double-sided
board.
The map
is double-sided.
So I've only played it in a three-player with us. Oh, wait, no, I'd play that.
Four-player, yeah.
That was in a foreign country. I don't remember these things.
Yeah, it doesn't count. It's another postcode, doesn't count.
But anyway, it's
not a vast space.
Around a dozen planets, maybe 15 on the larger side. Each link with a little star trail. There's multiple routes you can take to different things. Some of them are inhabited with pirates. We'll cover those shortly. And a majority of these planets have a mission on. Each mission requires a different number of and type of employee to go and complete the mission. Each mission is worth a number of points and a bonus as you complete it. So that's where I got the majority of my points. But it's not the only way you can earn your points. There are a number of other things which score you points throughout the game. Medals that you have on your board, pirates you have in your hold, number of crew you've managed to uprate to commander level.
Tin cans that you have, the little android boys who are in your ship.
The androids are great. You normally send them on a mission, but if you've got some left over at the end of the game, it's a bonus point each. So.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I want to talk about the androids because I love how they are slightly different size and shape to the other crew members intentionally.
Yeah.
So they can only fit into the transporter area where you send them on missions. And they can't fit into the queue to come back into your ready room with the other crew members.
They are a one and done unless
you have a
It's
like a little subconscious reminder that they physically will not fit, so you have to throw them away when you're done with them.
Should we give some context to that and talk about the type of crew and how that works, right? Because, yeah, I think it's kind of like a little bit of a point-salady game, right? You get points for lots of different things in the game, as you say, Simon, doing missions.
Pretty much everything will give you points or half points or something at the end of the game, right?
Exactly. And you get those by using your crew to do actions. Again, you start with this beaten up old jalopy of a ship that's half busted.
It's fine. It flies.
Yeah, it's fine. It's on fire. Who cares? And you start with a beginning crew, one of each colour, and I suppose an eager cadet.
The grey cadet.
Ready to learn. And you get to use those crew in kind of a action selection type mechanism, right?
Yeah, if you've played something like Dune Imperium. Right, yeah. Color-coded actions, almost. Yeah. You have to pick a matching crew member, so an ensign of the right department on your ship, in order to use them for a specific action.
It's really clever the more the game develops. As you say, you start with one of each. So your red guys can move your ship as a basic thing, and up to two spaces. The blue guys allow you to pick up tech. The yellow guys allow you to do some shooting.
Shoot down pirates.
Then the grey guy, until you do something else with him to make him trained.
Repair dog's body.
Yep, goes and fixes the ship, which you'll definitely make use of. But the clever thing I found is that throughout the game, you'll gain more of these. Some will be waiting to come on board, and you can choose how many you end up with. So it's not that you have equal crew that can do a certain number of actions a certain number of times.
It's not that you have one of each color and then two of each color. I've got three guys. I think I'm going to lean towards a specific action color. I'm going to retrain half of my crew into that color, and then everything I'm doing is favoring that color.
It's a really malleable
and that's where the engine building aspect of the game comes in, because technologies that you can get will give you various things, including giving you additional action options for your crew.
Absolutely. I mean, give you a great example. Your yellow guys can typically only shoot down pirates, right? Yep. Which will give you rewards, which will give you points at the end of the game. But there is tech in the tech deck. There's tech in the tech deck.
Decks, those tiny skateboards.
They were.
That's right.
That's a segue for me.
finger skateboarding. But yeah, there is a tech in the deck that will allow you to use your yellow ensign to jump across the planet.
To use a jump drive.
Yes, use a jump drive.
Or to use the trash compactor.
Exactly. So there is various clever ways in the game to utilize crew of one color type to do multiple different things.
And that's your sort of engine building, and that's where you can mix and match your crew composition to suit a particular engine or combo that you're sort of trying
or
to...
Or particular fancy technology that you've picked up, and you go, actually, I could really do with a couple more.
Yeah, you see one or two options that you think will work together. The first time we played, I got an option where you got one room that gave me an ability to make pirates through cloning.
That's right.
I could make pirates that I could then keep on my ship. And then I had another room that let me turn pirates into robots.
Which was great.
Yeah, so creating Cybermen.
I was making pirates through cloning and then turning them into robots.
Really smart action selection. And obviously the round ends when you've got no more crew to do stuff with. And there's a clever little system. I don't know if we dig into it now about the whole queuing thing, but...
Let's do the other action that you can do. Other than taking an action, a worker placement action.
Right, yeah.
You can instead commit your workers to completing missions.
On an away team.
On away missions. So you go to a specific location on the board via taking actions to move to the right places.
Yeah.
And then what you can do is you can say, actually, what I want to do right now is I want to complete the mission that's on this planet.
Yeah.
And the mission that's on this planet will be a card that will have a combination of crew colours. If you can send the right crew in the right colours onto the planet on an away team mission, then they will come back with a bunch of rewards.
Downside of that is, obviously, it kills your action economy because you can do less things on the turn.
Yeah.
But the upside of that is you'll get a bunch of points at the end of the game and you'll get a bunch of rewards.
Yeah, I think that's really cool that you can choose how and when you spend your crew. It might be the basic onboard actions. It might be a special room that you've picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might hold off on using your tech guy to pick up another piece of tech because that tech guy needs to go off planet and go and complete this mission, and that mission will get you more than what you'd have got with a basic action, as well as endgame VP.
Yep.
It's very cool. And making sure you've got the right people in the right place at the right time is really part of the thinky bit of the game.
This is the interesting sort of puzzle to the game, right? The queue.
It's not just who you spend, but when you spend them as well, because that'll determine the order they come back and become available for you.
Your ship is made up of a ready room and a little corridor, which will sort of be able to fit your crew members. When you take an action with one of your coloured crew, or your grey ensign, you stick them in the corridor at the back of the queue.
They stop at the door to the ready room.
Yeah, they're
up a queue. Right,
yeah, they're on a fag break. Guys, they're just hanging out. Right?
Yeah, they've done their thing. You have to wait for them to cycle back to the front of the queue.
And then once everyone's done that and there's no crew left, the round ends, and then you sort of push all of your crew that are queued up until there's three left over and they end up in the ready room.
They really just sort of shuffle together. You just sort of like push at the back of the queue and they all, in a really satisfying way, they all just sort of shuffle into the ready room.
So like, break time's over now, boys. Yep. Back to work.
I don't think we've utilised it in a hugely strategic way yet.
I've realised where I've gone wrong.
I'm starting to realise that the order in which I pick my actions on a given round are going to affect the order in which I can do my actions in a following round.
Yeah.
Or the composition of crew that I'm going to have available in a future round, particularly when it comes to your commanders, your upgraded crew members.
Absolutely.
Because you might only have one of them in a batch of 10 guys. And if he's at the back of the queue, you're not going to get to use him again for ages. Yeah. And there's only four rounds
in
the game.
If your best guy is the last one you use, he's right at the back, so you won't get him until you've managed to clear out at least one round's worth of people.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely thought back, even to this game, and thought to myself, I should have used that guy first or done the mission first to get him back in the queue as quickly as possible.
And actually, I think I hurt myself slightly today by focusing on trying to get loads of tin cans because they don't join the queue, and I was using crew members and actions to get myself the tin cans, who then, although they could do away missions for me, would not be joining the queue, and I was then stuck with a bunch of guys in the queue in sort of the wrong order for the next round.
We talked about it briefly as well. You're not stuck with the different colour crew that you've got. You earn medals through the game through doing a bunch of different stuff, and these medals give you a massive amount of flexibility.
You guys seem to get a vast number of medals so early on in this game. I wondered if I was doing it wrong.
Now, both Wayne and I focused heavily on one particular reputation track that gave us medals.
Yeah, that's basically it.
You gain medals from completing certain missions, gaining favour on the reputation tracks in a couple of other ways.
Yeah.
When you pick up certain techs, they combine and can give you extra medals, which is quite cool, or they can give you a repair action or a move action. And these medals, as you say, Wayne, they allow you to either retrain an existing officer to another colour type. So you might have too many pilots, you want more science guys, or the other way around, or your cadet becomes one of the three types. If you have three medals, you can upgrade an existing person into a commander. And the commander, if we've not mentioned already, allows you to do two actions on a turn.
Yeah, they're like double effective.
And I don't think any of us took advantage of this, recall one of your used crew members from the queue ahead of time.
No, I did not use that this time. I used it the first time we played, but I didn't use it this time because I intentionally always sent my commanders on away missions to maximize reputation.
That's also something you can do. You send them to get double rewards.
They either take two actions or they get double rewards of the corresponding colour on their away missions.
Using them to do that sort of recalling their matching crew member.
It's like a stall.
It's like a
stall. Think of it like a stall. You shuffle your colours around. And because you use your commander first, he goes into the queue and you pull forward someone else from the queue, who will then go behind him in the queue and push him forward slightly further into the queue.
It's more about queue manipulation.
It's queue manipulation. Right. It's speeding up getting your commander back.
That's
and
right.
It's stall.
Yeah,
I think it's really clever, I have entirely negated to make use of it so far.
Yeah, me too.
It's only my second game, to be fair. So,
yeah,
you know,
we need to play this a ton more. But
And if it's so far sounding in any way complicated, I promise you it's not anywhere near as complicated as it may sound. It's, for me, and I might be jumping ahead of our schedule here, an easy game to pick up. I mean, Tom and I hadn't played since Germany, Essen, in beginning of October. I already forget when we went.
It feels like a long time.
So it's been a good 6-7 weeks since we played this, tired after a day traipsing around a massive convention. It took us 3 minutes to remind ourselves of everything in this game and go, yep, let's go.
One of the colours of your crew, as we mentioned, is the science officer, the blue colour. You can use them to grab tech from this sort of open market row. And that's really cool. It really will turn what starts as a symmetrical game into an asymmetrical game, right?
There's some wild stuff in there.
So there's a few different types of cards you can get, right? Well, there's two main types of cards. You get beta and omega cards.
There's alpha, beta, and omega.
Alpha, beta, and omega. Alphas are like the starting techs.
Yeah.
Betas
are
the ones
slightly
that come
different.
Out of the deck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then omegas are the
end game scoring. Yep.
So the omega ones are the end game scoring. They are the Seven Wonders guilds.
Yep,
right.
That's
they
what
are. They don't really do anything when you get them. They take up a spot on your tech board, and they just sit there until the end of the game. But they're in-game scoring for doing something like having more damage on your ship, or collecting a bunch of a certain type of crew color.
Yeah,
or doing missions of a certain color. Right. So you can sort of build towards an end-game scoring objective that way. The other are split into two types. The alphas and the betas are
the techs,
basically sort of one-off effects or passive effects that you get, which go on your ship, and then they'll do something on a trigger.
So every time you do this action, gain something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whenever you do something, discard this card to cancel the negative effect or whatever it is.
Ignore damage. Or ignore a pirate.
Some sort of benefit, right? Yeah. The alternative is rooms, and these are color-coded to your ship crew types. And they become additional action options for the crew of that colour. And they do all sorts of wacky things outside of the normal raft of actions.
So as Wayne mentioned earlier, you can, instead of using your yellow guy as a gunner, can now activate a jump drive and you can move anywhere you like on the board.
Yeah.
I've got the blue one here, a time turner. So you can send your science guy here, and instead of using him to pick up yet more tech, you can use the tech you've already got to draw your next person from your queue back onto your ready room. So again, it gives you
queue
more action.
Which is, could be really powerful because you get a commander back, for example.
Exactly.
And quite often what we did is, well, what I did at least, is use a captain for double duty. So you can use him for his normal action and then a special room action that matches his colour. So
I think there's an enormous number of combinations you'll be able to build because you can always, to a degree, you know, there's about 7 or 8 different techs out available at any time that you are picking tech.
I think it's eight. Is it eight?
It's quite a lot. I mean, it's a generous market run.
Yeah, you've got a good selection from. There's no cost to them other than that's what your science guy is doing this turn.
Yeah, he's researching something.
But
and
then because you can manipulate who you have available to you using those medals and the queue system, you can make great use of different rooms that you pick up throughout the game.
Yeah. If you really focus make some on really science, fun combos. You can pick up a ton of tech and just see what happens.
I think, we saw it last time, we saw it this time. At the beginning of the game, we set up a market row, and I think Wayne and I both said, okay, there's two cards here that would work really well together. I want to try and grab both of these. And Wayne got one of them, and I took the other one.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you for that.
I thought to myself, if I've seen this combo, there's no way Tom hasn't seen this combo. As well as everyone's crew becoming different, your tech being different will add another layer of asymmetry. Really, really clever.
Yeah. And each of these tech cards, just as a little add-on, on each side of them or on one side or the other, depending, and at different heights upon the edge of the card, there's a little symbol for either gain a medal, gain a move, get a repair.
Yeah, medals, moves, repairs.
And when you manage to line these two up, so either a tech card on an otherwise empty tech board, but there's pre-printed symbols, or you get two texts that line up next to each other. You get that as a bonus as well as the tech, which is
so it sort of rewards you for putting texts in specific locations on the tech track.
Another example is, say you desperately need a move, but you don't have any red guys left. Send your blue guy to pick up a tech that will trigger a move based on the bonuses.
Yeah.
So there's some clever ways that you can utilize tech in that way.
Yeah, there's sort of little extra bonus things to look out for to improve your action economy.
God, we haven't even talked about the rewards and stuff. You know, there's artifacts in this game, and you can use those as actions. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean,
or pirates.
Or pirates.
Yeah, we're not done yet.
We're not done.
So, one of the types of rewards that you can get from missions or from fighting pirates is artifacts.
Yep.
Artifacts go into your ship, and your ship has a hold with a limited number of spaces. And if you can get artifacts of matching colours in pairs, you can discard those two artifacts to take a room action, so moving your ship or shooting pirates or using one of your coloured rooms from your tech board, instead of using a corresponding crew member of the right colour.
It's just action economy. It's just more ways to do more things on your round. Really clever.
So you could, instead of using your red guy to move and then wait on the planet for your next turn, use your two artifacts, which might be a red-yellow and a red-blue. It gives you a red combo. You can pretend you got a red guy. You get your move effectively for free by using your artifact. You're then at the planet already. You can then spend your guys to do the mission.
And that becomes even more important later on when you don't want to, for example, waste your commanders.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Very, very clever.
Good gosh. There's a lot of options in it.
You can fight pirates for bonuses. You can get little tin cans for extra away mission options.
We haven't even talked about the influence tracks, really. I mean, you can go up the influence tracks and there's rewards for that.
I think we've talked about it enough. it's a real point salad. Everything you do will get you points in
some
way.
Sort of bonus.
And if you get cut off from one option because a tech's been taken that you thought you wanted, or someone gets to a mission before you do, because the missions get reserved if someone beats you to them, right?
Yeah.
Then it's fine because you can just pivot easily into something else.
I think you're never more than three spaces away from another
doing
mission.
Doing something. No. Yeah, exactly.
And so it's really interesting. I think because the first game that we played, even with us playing it for the first time, the scores were pretty close. And today it was really close.
It was literally half a point because the artifacts are worth half a point each.
That's it, yeah. So everything you can do will get you points, and it's very difficult, I think, to find yourself at a loose end with options, which is nice because it's easy to play games like this and not feel like you know what you can sort of swing into, or feel like you've been punished for specialising in a certain scoring method to then sort of get cut off from it and not be able to capitalise, right?
Yeah. I do want to talk just one more thing on those influence tracks, though. They are sort of geared towards slightly different rewards, which is great. And also, there is a certain point on each influence track where if you trigger it, there'll be a little event that will happen.
It's like a global event.
Yeah, a global event, which is cool. And that'll just add something extra to the game that you can work towards.
Am I imagining things where there's more than one event for each influence track? Yeah,
except
we just played with
the
same ones, right?
No, I think
I feel like they were the same ones. Maybe it was just us.
But in any case, the point of talking so much about the mechanisms is I feel like this game has a lot of options, but it gives you a lot of options without being particularly heavy.
Yeah, you always feel rewarded for doing anything because everything is going to be points at the end of the game. And it's always a bit of a fine balance on, is something worth one more point than this other option? And, you know, there's always going to be plenty of ways that you can go to try and still score points without feeling like you've lost out on something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll always progress. And in a game that is relatively short, as we've said, there's only four rounds. Mm-hmm. So probably 12, 15 turns at most per player, depending on how you've manipulated your queue order and so on.
Yeah.
You can get a lot done.
You really can. It does.
And there's always progress.
With that said, then, where would you put the complexity weight of this game?
Oh, I'm going first, apparently.
Yeah. You're going first, why not?
I think once you know what are the options, it's somewhere between a two and a three for me.
Yeah, 2.5. BGG, I think, is spot on with 2.5 as well.
2.38, apparently. Yeah, on BGG. I think 2.5 works. I mean, I think it's weightier than something like... I'm about to say it, but then as I'm about to say it, I'm not entirely sure
I
agree with
it
myself.
Is.
I think it's weightier than something like Wingspan.
I think it's almost exactly the same in terms of weight.
It does feel very... Yeah, although quite different.
It's and different.
There's fewer options in Wingspan, I think, on any given turn.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's... Well,
but you can build an overall more complex engine in Wingspan.
I think it's... You know, obviously there's not a worker placement side to it, but there's resource management and there's engine building, and this is
action
engine building and action selection and not really resources. So it's still a mix of two elements.
Yeah.
And it's a mix of similar complexity elements.
Yeah, we'll stick it at about 2.5, but it's very good. Let's talk about the theme and gameplay interaction then. So do you think Starship Captains feels thematic, and does the gameplay work together with the theme?
Hell yeah. Fucking love my space queue.
Okay. Space queuing is the most British Star Trek ever.
I think the overall look of the game totally speaks to what it's aiming to do, and I think the gameplay follows through on that. You know, cucking around in space.
Yeah,
doing whatever you want in space, doing adventures in space.
You are. Yeah. On the face of it, you are a starship captain. You're going out exploring and doing missions. That's exactly what I'm doing every turn. No doubt about
it. Shooting pirates down, doing adventures, that sort of stuff. Like, if I'm going to compare this to the other cocking about in space game that I've got, which is Gear Legends Drift System, that game is X-fold more thematic, but it's X-fold more complicated.
Yeah.
This manages to pull that sort of feeling into a relatively straightforward Euro game. And also, more to the point, is a Euro game.
Yeah, no dice.
No dice.
The only randomization is the order in which the missions and techs come out.
Yes, but that's fine.
And they're always effectively open market, right?
It's open market.
You can always pivot and see what's coming up and sort of plan ahead.
I think the theme really screams through in the artwork. I think it really does a good job. And yeah, I think the things that I'm doing make it feel fun. And I have certain crew that are good at certain things, like you would have in Star Trek, for example.
Yeah.
You've got your red officers, you've got your yellow security officers, and you've got your blue science folk.
I like feeling like I can customize and sort of, you know, guide that engine, and it's in a satisfying way. You don't have a million pieces to your engine to build. You might only have two or three things, but it's fun to make a little combo and then fleece the hell out of it and see where it goes.
Yeah. How would you rate the how well the theme comes through then?
With the mission cards, absolutely core of the game for me, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, either a 4 or a 5 out of 5. I think it's super thematic. Obviously, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I'm not a Star Trek fan in the slightest. I still got a kick out of looking at these and just
I don't think you need to be
in the same way that you don't need to be a bird fan to play Wingspan.
No,
you don't need to be a Star Trek fan
unless
to enjoy
you
Star
hate
Trek
science fiction.
But there's plenty of references in this game that are not Star Trek references.
Oh, absolutely.
On the mission cards, right? Yeah. They are a bit of a smorgasbord of other sci-fi films and franchises.
Yeah.
It's clearly inspired very heavily by Star
Trek.
There's
some kind of Blade Runner-esque artwork
in there.
There's
a mix.
There's some almost... Well, anything with tentacles always draws you to Cthulhu type.
Yeah, there's like a beholder in there.
There is definitely a beholder in there.
But yeah, I think I'd give that definitely a 4 out of 5 for its theme.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how much more can you do with this type of game and where it's aiming at and its weight and the fact that it's a Euro game at heart? I think it does an amazing job. Let's talk about the complexity and the flow of the game, at least. We talked about the weight of it, but what do you think about the turn length and the game flow and the clarity of the rules and whether or not it respects your time?
Yeah, we mixed up a couple of things in the first game that we played, but it very quickly started to fall into pace and the flow of the game is quite simple and straightforward.
I think it's super snappy.
Yeah, you certainly can play a very quick game of this. If you have an idea of what you want to do with your next turn, it's like, boom, place a guide, do a thing, done.
Yeah.
Yeah, even towards late game when you may have 2, 3, 4 different bonus rooms in your tech tree as well as the basic actions, you're still only doing one of those on your turn, unless or two at most with a commander.
It slows down when you consider that you want to try and optimize your play order.
That's the only thing, is the concentration for the optimization. But in terms of actual just basic gameplay, I think
the first time we played it, I don't think any of us really thought about the queue and the order in which people were coming back out, and we still enjoyed it and played it anyway. And you could play with people who don't care what order stuff is coming back out in, and you just deal with what stuff is available to you as it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. My thought towards the queue bit is, I know I'm going for this mission within the next 2 turns, 3 turns. Mm. That means I need these guys to come back out before I get there. So I'll make sure I use them in such a way that they'll come back out. And that's really cool. I don't think
that dramatically slows the game down.
No, not at all.
It is super smooth and super snappy for the most part. Like you say, it's one thing really on your turn. It will slow down a bit late game when you have more options, where you've got captains that can do multiple things. You've got multiple rooms. Your engine starts to take shape. So, of course, it's going to be a little bit more grindy. But even then, it's still all right. In terms of the clarity of the rules, the rule book was fine. I mean, there's some weird interactions with some of the tech that will cause you pause for thought.
There's a bit of a, like, errata at the back of the book, right?
It doesn't cover everything.
No, not errata, sorry. Clarifications that sort of explain how certain things are supposed to work if you're not sure.
It doesn't quite cover everything, but it's hard to cover everything. But for the most part, it's pretty good. I mean, it's like 90% pretty straightforward.
And it's not a big, heavy rule book. It's quite short. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And for at least the one question we weren't entirely sure, Mr. Hofgaard's answered it on BGG, so it seems like he's ironing out those wrinkles as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether or not this game respects your time, I mean, we got this done pretty quickly. I mean, pretty accurately. Yeah. So just over an hour for our game. Set up is a little bit finickety, but not overbearingly so.
Yeah, there's quite a few bits, isn't there? You've got your 3 different influence tracks. The main board where you lay out your missions.
Yeah.
And the tech track. The player pieces, but...
It's a game that might benefit from having a bit of an organiser, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
To be a little bit quicker to set up, but not dramatically so.
I'll be making a couple of upgrades, I think, getting some pots and stuff to make it easier.
It's worth an upgrade.
Yeah, definitely, certainly. All right, let's talk about the final thoughts. Tom, what do you like most about Starship Captains, and is there anything you don't like about it?
You're asking Tom first, that means he gets to say.
I love the fucking queue.
I'm sorry, I should ask you first.
It's tactile and feels great to use. Its depth in the game, once you've played more than once, I think, its depth in the game with the queuing order and the action economy, I think that is room for someone to master their action economy.
Yeah.
Which is great. Coupled with the theme and the artwork and the fact that I like Star Trek and if it hadn't shown through. Yeah, it's just brilliant. Downsides, possibly it's just gonna be a little bit of a complaint about production.
Yeah.
I would like it to be a little bit more premium, but I appreciate that there are cost constraints and production value and all that sort of stuff. And I think realistically it sits in the right sort of range for value for money, right? It's sort of what I would expect, but I know that there are options out there that other people have done which give you a little bit more premium for your money.
Yep.
Yeah.
Simon,
if I can join you on that slight negative, then I'd agree that some of the production quality could be better, but I don't think in any way it detracts from the game, and I think it possibly speaks to a new designer not overstretching themselves, which, if anything, I genuinely have to applaud, because I've seen some oh, we're a new company. Here's a billion things, a million pieces of plastic. And
yeah, we've got a million ideas we want to cram into one game.
CGE know what they're doing.
On all of the positive side, though, possibly from second play onwards, because the first one, as with many things, you're learning and therefore won't get the best out of it. You can jump in, grab the joystick, and go shooting out of the hangar bay and on your adventure. And it is an arcade riot. There is depth to it. It's not a purely simple game, but it has that comic book arcade action kind of feel to it for a lot of the game. Unless you are me and struggle with a bit of umming and ahhing over certain options, you can just jump in.
It's not that bad, right?
I think the curb appeal, the table appeal, if we every time we play this at the gaming club, guarantee people are going to come over and go, what are you playing? Is that Star Trek? 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, is to be applauded. I think to be able to make a game on your first go that is this well-rounded and so enjoyable to play, I think, is just great.
I just really, really want to extol how much fun this game is. I think that arcade vibe is exactly right, Simon. It's an arcade game. But also, I love how wonderfully thinky and full of options it is, and how phenomenally balanced the whole thing ends up being.
Yeah.
Within 5-6 points, you'll end up...
Yeah, we immediately shoot off in opposite directions. At the end of the game, you're like, oh, it's wow, there's only half a point in it.
Exactly. Wayne spent the entire game doing something almost alien to me. And I didn't know where any of his points were coming from. And he had a bunch by the end of it.
Mm. Yeah.
But it wasn't from doing what I did.
No, I would have been much closer to you folks, except I cocked up my last round. But I think that's also really lovely about this game. It's balanced and smart enough to the point where I can immediately see what I did right. I can immediately see what I did wrong. And it makes me want to play it again straight away. I really want to play this like again.
What did you do wrong then?
For the last round, instead of taking the tech with my artifacts, I should have taken the move. The move would allow me to get a 5-point mission. So that was the only thing that was different.
Could have been a swing.
So it would not, I think, still not won, but it would have been closer.
Yeah.
But even then, without that, it was still pretty close. So it's wonderfully balanced. It screams sort of this pulpy space adventure.
Yep.
It's fun. It's not super complicated. And this is probably my favorite game of the year.
Nice.
Probably going to put it out there. I don't think there's something that I've played this year that I've enjoyed more than Starship Captains.
So, not even Twilight Imperium, like 10 times.
That's great. And I love TI. I love TI. But this is probably my favourite game that I've played this year. And yeah, it's for me, because we played it at UKGE, and when we bought it, it lived up to the hype as well. And I hope you guys agree, but it definitely, for me,
brilliant.
Lived right up to it.
Yeah, really, really good.
In terms of who this game is and isn't for... It's got a really broad appeal, I think. Unless you really don't like sci-fi, even if you didn't like sci-fi and you sat down and played it, I think you'd like it. It's a really such a smart design, and Mr. Hofgaard's done a phenomenal job for his first design, and CGE have done a great job for taking a bet on it.
Yes,
and going for it.
Yeah, I really hope that it's been as successful as they hoped it would be, because it was launched at. At Spiel,
I think they said, right? It was also Spiel, and the crates of games came in the day of or something, like really tight to the
wire.
They
had about 3,000 copies, some about two-thirds German, about a third English.
Yeah.
Had been finished production the Friday before Spiel.
Yeah, we talked to Mr. Hofgaard himself, and he said that they'd literally been finished the week before.
I think they came close to, if not actually selling out at the show.
Yeah.
They definitely deserved to. And on more general release now, and I really hope it's doing fantastically well. It totally deserves it.
It was super highly anticipated.
In our little chat I did, as I think mentioned in our Essen Roundup, I did ask him what's next. He said nothing officially.
But
boy, I could see there being either a solid expansion to this in some way.
He did say he has ideas for expansions. So if it does well, I can
fingers
see those
crossed,
coming.
Yeah.
Or fingers otherwise, crossed. If he's got some other cool ideas in his head, I can't wait to see them.
Absolutely. Mm. All right then. Simon, give us your final words, your final thoughts, and your final rating for Starship Captains.
oh man, do I make the set phases to What a Stunning Game? I know Star Trek.
Boo.
absolutely enjoyable. As I say, when we very first saw this at UKG and the pre-production level, it looked great. It was super popular. It's remained super popular. And I think you would go amiss to not get a good go of this if you have the opportunity. Really can't recommend it enough.
Final word is space.
Space.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Nitpicks aside on production, you could easily fix those things. And I think it's worth fixing those things because I think hopefully you get a lot of play out of this game.
Yeah, it's an easy 5 out of 5 for me. Just even considering the price that I paid for it, the game is that good. Like I said, it's my favourite game that I've played this year. It's absolutely magic. It's it gives me good feelings. That's what I like. It's the kind of things that I like in games. It's quick. It's one thing on your turn. It's thinky. It gives you options.
Yeah, there's enough to it.
There's enough
that
to
it doesn't feel simple and unrewarding.
Exactly. It always feels like you've achieved something, as you mentioned, Simon.
Yeah.
It doesn't outstay its welcome, which is something I look for as well. And it feels like time well spent.
I've been excited to play it since that first go.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it's taken 6 weeks to get to it is just logistics.
Yeah, exactly.
I would never not want to play this at the current point.
He's been stuck at the back of the queue since then.
Yeah, with my red top on.
Good, good. Well, thanks for listening to Board Stupid. Subscribe to us for updates and to get future episodes of the show delivered directly to your ear holes via your favourite podcast service. You can also find us basically anywhere these days, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever you can find your favourite podcast by searching for Board Stupid, spelled B-O-A-R-D. If you like our content, please do us a massive favour, subscribe to us, and just interact with us.
Yeah, give us a shout, give us a comment. Anytime we post, we're going to be effectively following our own stuff to make sure that people are enjoying it, and we want to hear from you. If
Absolutely.
You've got questions about something we've not covered in an episode, you want to hear more about what we're putting up pictures of, just drop us a line on any of those forums. We'll get right back to you.
Talk to us about games. We like games.
We do like games. Talk to us about them. Absolutely. And if you do have any questions or do you have any comments, like, you know, have you visited the stars? Do you want to command a spaceship of your own? Are you willing to overlook the suspiciously familiar colour coding of your crew to avoid a lawsuit? I like that line, Tom. Tom writes the formats. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again real soon.
Starboard bows, starboard bows, starboard bows, starboard bows, starboard bows, quit the mouth now.
Pew, pew.